What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde with this week's Notre Dame football show. Your weekly YouTube show and podcast talking all things Notre Dame football. I was just in San Antonio last week for the All-American Bowl. We're going to say, so we didn't go live last week. We're going to save some of those topics for the show next week. We want to be transfer portal heavy. Those, you know, the topics from San Antonio, those are not going anywhere. So we'll still have plenty to talk about from that. But quick word, Leprechauns game day, folks. Make sure you pick up your officially licensed children's book that describes the beautiful pageantry of a football Saturday at Notre Dame. Visit LepGameDay.com and enter promo code BG23, guys, and that will get your author signed copy from Mike Brown, the Leprechaun himself. And that deal to get the author signed copy runs out at the end of the month. So please, LepGameDay.com or scan that little promo or the QR code there at the bottom right of your screen. Mr. Hyde, how are you doing, sir? What's new in your world, man?
I'm doing really good, really good. I coach middle school hoops where I teach at, and we only lost by 30 today, so I was excited. So they're undefeated, this team we played, real quick. Literally, I just had a game a couple hours ago. I kid you not. They have a guy that's going to be playing in the NBA, so that was not fun. I told the AD, please don't schedule those in the future. So they had a grown man, an eighth grader, I swear was 19 years old. So, but that was my day today. Other than that, excited. We're in the offseason, Mike, so here we go, a little Notre Dame football. And
So for people
watching, there's a billion things to talk about.
So. People watching or listening to this, I appreciate you because you are a diehard. Like, you are tuning in to this show here in January. Yeah, you're awesome. You're awesome. Yes. Oh, so yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done this show. I want to say it's before the bowl game. So we do have a lot to talk about, Tim. But I think let's just kind of go right into transfer defensive back addition, Thomas Harper out of Oklahoma State. Someone who, Tim, I don't think he played a ton last year. I believe he was hurt most of the year. A guy who's kind of battled injuries a good bit. But I don't know if you've got to see his film, Tim. What do you think about this pickup for the Irish?
He's a perfect, you know, grad transfer to come in and play for Bracey. I think that's exactly what that spot is. He's the dude is aggressive as could be. You watch his film and you think he plays like he's 225 pounds. He has no fear. He is relentless to the ball. Darn good football player. He really is. Very, very aggressive. Great box safety is what he is. So he's going to be down. You see him perfect, you know, for that, you know, nickel role. I mean, Notre Dame, let's be honest, 90% of the snaps this year, they have five DBs on the field. So Bracey was out there a ton, and he's a perfect replacement. I think, when you look at some of the bodies, people assume Mickey would be the guy, but they want a physical presence. They want someone that's got a lot of games under his belt. And I think that, because Mickey played outstanding, by the way, in the bowl game. So I think they're seeing with Mickey, obviously you got Morrison coming back, Cam Hart coming back, Lewis, you got a solid two deep out there at corner. And let's just get a permanent nickel and get some guy that we could have out there, trust, who's got experience. It's a heck of a spot, It really is. He's a good football player.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be an addition that's blowing anyone away, but it seems like a solid depth piece.
Yeah, and on top of that, let's look at the situation. They brought in Pryor from Ohio State, who ended up just being a nickel dime outside backer, blitz guy, for Notre Dame. And then Brandon Joseph had more hype than what Isaiah Foskey, it felt like, coming into this season. And he was, a solid football player, but did not live up to the hype whatsoever that was coming in, in for him from Northwestern. So, he played, he was a good solid football player. And I think Thomas Harper is going to do the same thing for them.
Yeah. Folks, please do hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more content if you have not done so. Had a really good recruiting video that we posted with Darren Pritchett on Tuesday, so check that out if you have not done so yet. We'll have a Friday live show where we'll talk some Notre Dame recruiting as well with myself and Trey Yannity. Tim, I'm going to put you on the spot. When you look at this Notre Dame secondary going into next season, would you project it to be better than this past season? Because it was a pretty solid unit for the Irish. I mean, it's definitely, you know, when you look at the positions where you're going to point out, be like, yeah, that's where Notre Dame struggled this season. You're not really doing that with the secondary, right? I mean, so what do you think about that unit going into this year?
Well, after we talked 9 months and all we had in our head was the Fiesta Bowl with the DBs just getting lit up in that second half. So a different feeling going into next season. You obviously got a freshman All-American and Morrison, who's, you know, going to be one of the premier corners, preseason All-American next year. And then the shocker is Cam Hart. It's a huge surprise to me. As we said, when he came, decided to come back, I was stunned. I thought for sure he was going to leave. So you got a premier 2-year starter coming back at corner. So you got two legitimate corners. What does Clarence Lewis do? You know, does he move to safety? You know, does he, you know, do they just keep him as their third corner, play him in there and there? And then you have Mickey who played a ton of football this year. So going back to my point, you have four outstanding corners, and that's not even including Christian Gray, who I think is one of the most underrated football players, and he's a top 100 kid, outstanding corner. You know, Michael Bell, special team guy. I don't think he's going to be in the mix whatsoever. And then the interesting thing, now you have Harper, is, you know, what are you going to do at safety? You know, what are you going to do at safety? I think, you know, you have Watts coming back and Henderson, two outstanding players. Brandon Joseph, they probably would have wanted him to come back and play that fifth year, but he's gone. And then another shocker, DJ Brown coming back. So, I mean, you have two upperclassmen that have played a lot of football games for Marcus Freeman in 21 and 22. They're going to be back for a third year into that defensive scheme. So, secondary wise, it's going to be a darn good unit.
Yeah, yeah. Would you call it strength of the defense?
Yeah, probably going in, because who knows with D-line. D-line's going to have a lot of question marks. Bodies, but question marks. But some very good football players, but question marks. And then linebacker is the interesting one, because you're going to have, you know, 3 fifth-year seniors unless something happens, right? You got Maris Leofau. You got J.D. Bertrand, who played outstanding football this year. And then you got Jack Kaiser, who never gets mentioned, yet his numbers, his – you know, big plays, you know, Patrick Engel always does an article where he talks about the havoc plays and things like that nature. Per snap, Kaiser's ahead of Foskey on making plays on the football field. So you have 3 fifth-year seniors, and then what do you do with these other guys? I mean, Cauley's going to be in the mix because he's got 2 years. I think Jalen Snead's going to be an edge guy. I think it's a way to get him on the field. Chuli Alamaka on the field. Patella's going to be a senior. So those outside edges, I think we're going to see some young dudes playing out there. And then obviously Josh Burnham. So you got 3 sophomores that are going to be playing a heck of a lot of football out there.
Yeah. I'm going to actually try to pull it up. I saw a video go on Twitter today of Tui Halamaka.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Let's see if I can't pull it up. But
out in Utah working out with you know, a bunch of his buddies out there getting some. I saw that online. Yeah, awesome workout video. And did a little homework with the coach and the people that he works with and all that. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame really hasn't landed. They didn't land a Viper in this recruiting class.
Yeah.
But you move Josh Burnham there. If Tuia Halamaka moves there. You know, I actually talked to Preston Zinter this week. And I asked him, hey, like, what would you think about moving to, like, because he does look good as a weak side pass rusher, sure. Notre Dame's linebacker signee from Massachusetts. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I'll do it. It's just, you know, it's not really something we've discussed, but like, I'm like, whatever I can do to help the team and get on the field. So that's obviously what you want to hear.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you still got Jordan Patelho. Susan says, can't believe he's going to be a senior. Completely agree. I just feel like he, just showed up. Time really flies. Yeah, that 2020 recruiting class, that was the first I covered.
He's been a special. I mean, he has been a special. Him and Bo Bauer have just been, you know, freakazoids on special teams. Those two guys will just go knock you around like crazy for 4 quarters. So
Andrew asks, where do you put Maris? Can he rush the passer? I think you put Maris Leafout at quarterback, and I think Mike Goolsby will sign off on that.
Hey, the thing that, man, Maris, he's a lightning rod. He's a lightning rod because he played so much football this year. His production was low when you look at his havoc plays and his, you know, tackles for losses. Just how about just straight up tackles per his snaps that he had? I think he led the defense in snaps. You know, him and Bracey were probably, I think, 1-2, if I remember right. So he's a lightning rod, most definitely. But if you look at, you know, the Mike Singer way, the glass half full, be positive. The dude just came back from an injury, did he not? He just came back from a foot injury. He didn't play much in the spring. Didn't play, you know, he was 50-50 reps in August, I remember reading. So this was his first full football season, really, since he's been at Notre Dame. So that's one way to look at it, is he comes back for a fifth year with all these reps under his belt. So we'll see what happens.
All right, my mind just went totally off topic as you called me glass half full. Then I also remember when we had the show with Ashton Pollard.
Yes.
Ashton Pollard did not like when we would go off topic. She'd always be like, all right, Mike, stay to the schedule, the script. I'd be like, uh-uh. You call me – I got a lot of – this is totally off topic. But sure. I wrote an article today, Tim. Did you read this Carnell Tate, Dante Moore article I ran today?
I'll be honest with you, Mike. No. Because I'm like, they're not playing for Indy. That was my – I saw it, and I was like, yeah, I'm okay. But I'm sure it's got some good info. I'll click on it tomorrow. I did not read it.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving me a hard time about, you know, running the – why do you – we don't care. They're not in Notre Dame. So it's like –
sure, but it's a great backstory, and that's
it, it's important. I mean, we wrote an article about a Notre Dame, you know, like a I think it was a graduate assistant left for Western Michigan. You know, no one's giving us a hard time about that. Hey, they're not at Notre Dame. Who cares? But that was a really interesting story. Carnell Tate and Dante Moore, I got to talk to them, and you know, pretty much we're going to Notre Dame together. So, you know. Just people and how they decide that journalism should be done. You know, it's like,
oh no, it's a great story. I didn't read it yet. I was obviously busy. I saw the headline. I was like, oh, that's going to be a fun one. I didn't even
wait till you guys get to read the Keon Keeley. You know, I did the same. We'll have that out soon. So,
you know, and I'm sure, you know, just 30 seconds on those two, you got, I mean, Tate is, I mean, he's going to Ohio State. It's like they produce freaks. And I'm sure he talked about that with you. I'm just assuming. That was probably a big thing, part of his recruitment, quarterback room at Notre Dame. You know, and then Dante starts looking around and he's like, oh, I'm just going to go to Ohio State. He's not going to go to Notre Dame. I'm just, you know, the way it played out and whatnot. But it was two guys, Midwest elite five-star guys that when you're Notre Dame, those are dudes that you should be getting, just like Justin Scott. You know, Justin Scott, the big nose guard out of Chicago, you know, the Chicago Catholic League. That's another one. Notre Dame has to land when he's down the road from you. So those two guys are lightning rods, interesting backstories, but I will read it because I love reading backstories. Why? Even if a kid doesn't come, okay, what did they have to say?
Yeah. The one Mike Goolsby calls me the eternal optimist, but the nine Chicago called a hater all day. So, you know, always something. Andrew Gilmore says, who comes into, appreciate the super chat, says, who comes into 2023 is the best player defense? Ben Morrison.
I mean, I told you mine for 6 months. I mean, I'm Brandon Vernon all day. So
no. Best player, not best player in the class. Like,
oh, okay. I'm thinking recruit. Like he was the top. I'm sorry, the top guy for the 22. You know, season. I'm sorry.
No, like who's the best player on this defense coming next year?
Who will be the? That's a great question. Who will be the? You know. Well, you're MVP a year from now.
Well, you're thinking when Morrison sets the bar, then you just got to think, well, who could be better than Morrison? I don't know if there's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, six picks is one away from Manti Te'o. So how's that? That's pretty awesome when you look at interceptions. That's a lot of interceptions in college football.
Speaking of Manti Te'o, I watched the part one of that documentary. I had not seen it yet. Our old friend Greg Lackey pops up. You've seen it.
Oh, I have not. I only watched the beginning. I only watched a little, and I was like, this is a popcorn. I haven't had a time to. That's a popcorn one. So I need to get a good popcorn and get knee deep into that.
Yeah, Greg Lackey gets a quick cameo. What? You know, from a film, a broadcast that he was in. You know, when Manti was a recruit, but I was like, I know him.
Oh, I love it.
All right, let's move on to talking about CJ Williams. Tim, recruiting is it doesn't end. That's a great way to put it. I could not believe that Notre. I mean, this one-time transfer rule in the portal has really changed everything in college football. To think that I wrote that, we just talked about Dante Moore and Carnell Tate, how I wrote that article, I did the same thing with CJ Williams. Like I wrote the same article and interviewed him at the same event about why he didn't pick Notre Dame.
Love it.
Here we are. And now he's going to be visiting Notre Dame this weekend. Tim, what's your reaction to this? You know, as a guy who's coached a lot of football in Southern California.
Yeah. Well, number one, huge realization by him that Notre Dame is where he should have been, right? That's if this were it goes, how interesting that is. Notre Dame, the wide receiver room probably could have, is the wide receiver room a mess because we did CJ Williams wasn't at Notre Dame this year? That's that one extra body would have been in the spring and summer, getting reps. How would he have done things of that nature? But I'll be honest with you. I was pretty excited because Notre Dame doesn't get modern day guys. They haven't. They haven't had modern day guys in a long time. And the fact that they went out there, it's a huge, there's a couple things. Number one, it goes back to this idea of Notre Dame does not get undergrads, right? And my philosophy on this whole undergrad thing is, and I've talked about it 100 times on the message board, is I think, people, we can't get undergrads. I think Freeman is going to go after guys they recruited before. I know you tagged me and I've had a little fun with it with the Michigan guy who left, who just signed with Oklahoma, but Notre Dame recruited him. Notre Dame recruited the Iowa guy, correct? Who went to Kansas State. They recruited him as an undergrad. I didn't say offer, but they recruited him. Reese communicated with him and stuff.
I don't like this take.
As far as what?
I think that helps.
Hold on. They're not going to go get some freshman from Florida State who's leaving after his freshman year that they never recruited. Notre Dame's not going to get those guys, but Notre Dame's going to have a tie with the CJ Williams, who they recruited, went through admissions to where if he wants to leave after a freshman year, they've already got a foot in the door with those guys. Completely different. And you a real take?
I like it now. I like it. Yeah. I see where you went with it, and I think it's a really interesting take. Yeah. I want to see more data, though.
Sure.
I want to see a little bit more data to see if the undergrads that they are able to go after are ones who they already, they have that not only relationship with from a coaching staff, but maybe there's the academic component too that, hey, we already have all this information on him from the academic standpoint, but he's in high school. Now it could be easier to get him into school. Totally just speculating here, but that, I think that's an interesting. It's an interesting take.
Well, and the other thing is academics, after your freshman year, some of your courses will transfer in, but you go to summer school, you can do an extra winter quarter, whatever the heck it is to get caught up. Where if you're a junior now, right? If you're a guy that's, A&M or, University of Texas, whatever, who's in his junior year, now you have, 6-7 semesters of academic courses, trying to move around those may be different than a CJ Williams who we recruited a year ago, and he's had 2 years or two semesters at USC. That's my take when you're looking at these undergrads. I know people on the message board and Notre Dame fans are like, oh my God, we can't get so and so. Why can't we get this guy? Notre Dame needs to change everything. Well, Notre Dame didn't recruit so and so, like I said, out of Miami, Florida State, Alabama, who just left. So what makes you think they're gonna have a shot at him now anyway? So I think that's my take as far as undergrad transfers in Notre Dame fandom. Just, take a break on it. And at the end of the day, as we've said, this is going to be a program that's built on recruiting. And then when they need the older guys, they're going to go get those older guys. And Notre Dame has had a lot of success with grad transfers. And I think that will continue as we're seeing this year, right? All their transfers are grad transfers this year.
Yeah. So far. I was actually just texting with someone close to CJ asking, hey, is that visit locked in? And I was told tentatively headed to Notre Dame tomorrow. And my response was, it's kind of late to get that trip booked. And the response back was, hey, that's how it is with these transfer portal. I mean, we're talking 24 hours out that these things are like finalized, set in stone. If I tried to book a trip the day before, I don't think it would meet my budget. But hey, Notre Dame's got a much bigger budget. So
yeah, hopefully they could get a ticket after what today. What was it? Every airline I saw this morning was grounded. So hopefully he doesn't have to take a bus. Yeah, I saw that this morning. So hopefully he doesn't have to take a bus from Orange County to South Bend.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good first recruiting impression there. Before we move on to our next topic, Tim, just your thought about how this might, you know, impact the receiver room. You know, you bring in Jaden Greathouse and Rico Flores, these, you know, I hate using possession receiver because that's a negative term most people, but like technicians at the receiver position, right? Who can do multiple things. You could play him inside, outside. I think you would throw CJ Williams in that as well. So I think that could be an interesting thing where you have all these young receivers coming in with similar skill sets. But my response to that would be, it's a good problem to have, right? Oh. So I actually think Rico and CJ have pretty similar skill sets. What do you think?
Yes, and then you go back to the California roots and the California schools they come from at Mater Dei and Folsom High that produce elite quarterbacks, two programs that win, throw the football, and are well coached, both of these guys at both of their high schools. So it's a huge positive. And as far as the room goes, I mean, it's going to be a young package here. And as far as seniors go, yeah, you know, Salerno's coming back, you know, be the block and wide receiver, which was a ton this year. And then you got Caleb Smith, who's just a big physical presence out there, the Virginia Tech grad transfer. He's going to play a lot. He's a good football player. And then outside of that, you have this group of juniors, correct? With, you know, Colsey, Thomas, Stiles. And then, like you said, let's see. I mean, you've mentioned all these freshmen are going to be in or early enrollees. So they're going to have a whole winter conditioning, a whole spring. It's going to be huge. And I think with Hartman coming in, they're going to be an 11 personnel team. We're going to see an offense with three wides on the field. We're not going to see burn the clock, run the clock, two tight ends, Sherwood in there. We're going to see a traditional 11 personnel football
team. Not only Hartman coming in, but Mayer going out, right? So, you know, Mayer, you'd be crazy not to have at least one tight end on the field at all times. And oftentimes the Irish should have two out there, but not. You know, that I don't think that's going to be the case as much. Well, we opened up the show talking about, you know, the Leprechauns game day book from Mike Brown. So I figure let's just bring him in. Let's just let him talk. Let's just let him talk himself. Again, folks, this is the book that you want to go ahead and purchase. I use the promo code BG23 Leprechauns game day at Notre Dame. So you, for folks watching on YouTube, you see Mike Brown there, and tell me he does not look the exact same. That was the graduating class 2001, and here we are in 2023.
Like that,
and you look like you have not aged a day. How you doing, Mike?
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Mike. And I'm doing really well. It's always it's a great day to be part of the ND family. So it's a great day. You all are fun. Like, I love this, by the way. So I love what you're all doing. It's good, great conversation. So, great to be here.
I just hope your favorite part is the Mike Singer takes and when Tim Hyde talks.
It's hard to beat middle school basketball losing by 30. That's a tough. I was sold after that top of the hour.
Hey, real quick. We were down by 12 last week against our rival 5 minutes down the street. We came back and beat them. There you go.
Before. Love it. I got into this full time. I was also I was a middle school PE teacher and coach. So yeah, I'm there with you, Tim. I was our head girls basketball coach, and we once won a game 4-2. We scored off the tip off,
high score
2-0, and we took that lead into halftime, and we won 4-2. So
scored by the same person.
Oh yeah, our offense was. Give this girl the ball and just hope something good happens.
I love it. You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Hope it lands somewhere near the hoop. And if it goes in, that's a big plus. But
we all had that first shot in our lives.
There you go. All right. So tell us what's going on, Mike. The last time we had you on our show, I believe it was in late August. So that was when we were taking like pre-orders for the book, right. I want to say. So what's been new with it, Mike? Just
it's here. So it seems like an eternity ago, right? Because on that day, August 25th, 2022, is when we were talking about. I think that the graphic still says pre-order.
Send me a new graphic, yeah, Mike.
We're all good. but it's now available. And so the book was actually published on September 20th, 2022. And before I say anything else, Mike and Tim, I want to just thank Blue and Gold Illustrated for the support, right? You all have really been there throughout that pre-order journey and process as we were starting to roll the book out. And then you were there when we initially published a book. I actually was in North Carolina for the North Carolina game at the Indie Club of Northeastern Carolina. Tyler Horker was there, and we ended up having a book signing, and we both gave a talk and everything. But it was the exact week that the book came out and Notre Dame won. So it was a great week. But nonetheless, the book's been published. It's been doing well. The sales have been going great. And we just appreciate really the support. But what's been really cool about it all is the engagement we've been able to have with families, with children on campus. We've had book signs at the bookstore at different Notre Dame clubs across the country, different parts of the area here in, I mean, the South Bend area. And so it's just been great to engage with people and hear their experiences with the book. I get texts and we get emails and messages on Facebook, on Twitter, you name it, Instagram, of people showing us with their kids reading the book and engaging with it in some way. We've had some people actually be on campus and go to some of the sites that are in the book. So we feature Touchdown Jesus, for example, the library. We feature the Golden Dome. And so their children will take pictures that mirror the pictures that are images that are in the book itself, or vice versa, right? Or they'll come to campus, see these things, get the book, and then go home and say, oh, I was there. I was at the grotto. There's one, a good friend of mine, class of 01, Joe Fowler. I don't think she'll mind me saying her name, but her son did a book report at school, and his book report was about his Notre Dame game day experience. And so he had pictures from his time at Notre Dame this past fall, and then he had the book itself. And so he used that as part of his overall book report. So it's been fun just kind of getting all the positive feedback. It's been, I mean, like Indy game day, we go to the bowl. It's been a great year. I'm happy. It's been a great year.
Mike, do you think if you took your suit out of that frame behind you, could you fit into it?
Well, that's a good question. So that's also a change since the last time we talked. I got this in the frame now. So I told the coaches I can't do it. But I couldn't fit it because, Mike, I've been working out, man.
Hey.
Come on now. You see these shoulders? Come on, man. I'm too buff for that now. Come on.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So when we've been talking about this book, Mike, and I want you to dive into a little bit more what people can expect if they purchase it. It's that, like, if you read an article or something or a Blue and Gold magazine, like, some of those things are not evergreen, and that, like, you read it and then it's going to get outdated by future information, right? Your book, I mean, if you pick that up in 40 years from now, like, that, like, Notre Dame, you know, it's just such a traditional, rich program. You know, things might tinker a little bit, but, like, Notre Dame's going to be Notre Dame.
They might triple the size of the stadium, you know. They might build four extra levels. No.
And I've been telling folks, like, you pick this up, this will be an invaluable thing for you for the long term. You buy this for your young one. They're going to pass it on to their young ones. We just need to brainwash more people into loving Notre Dame, right, Mike?
We absolutely do. We've been talking about drinking the Notre Dame Kool-Aid. And so we want people to guzzle it. We want the kids to start guzzling Notre Dame Kool-Aid. And so, but you're right, man. So I got introduced to Notre Dame when I was in high school, right? So I didn't know about really Notre Dame until my senior year. What we want to do is introduce these kids right when they're young, but also the parents, right? A lot of the parents of children have had their own unique experience with the university, many times on campus. And so we wanted to kind of take that experience and bottle it up. And like you say, it's something that we hope contains that magic of the game day experience forever, right? So we hope, right, that the grotto hopefully isn't going anywhere, and that special moments that people have had at the grotto. When you look, that photo there is in front of the Golden Dome where they have step off, and you got fans lined up and the band is getting ready to step off from the Golden Dome. You got the march past the library, and you got the, you know, the leprechaun with the cheerleaders running out in front of the football team across that field. I got a chance to do that 12 times, and it was just an unbelievable experience each and every time. And so we wanted to kind of bottle that up and essentially share that magic of that beautiful game day experience, which so many people have done, but some haven't. And so we want to, even for those who haven't done that, we want to give them a little introduction to that as well, in hopes that they hopefully will come to campus one day and get that experience.
Mike, you got your first super chat, man. Anthony says, who is the Chris Zorich, Todd Light, Tim Brown, and Tony Brooks on this team?
Hey, okay, first of all, we did not break any NIL rules. So we made sure no player in the book looks like anyone in real life.
Anthony, appreciate it, man. Mike, anything else that's unique about this book that you'd want to touch on, and any other details?
Sure. So I guess the one thing I would say, Mike, is one thing that we've noticed and we were very intentional about when it comes to the book is, right, let's make no mistake about it, I'm Black. And you see the book, you see a Black leprechaun on the cover of it. That's very intentional, right? It's in my own image. So I should have my own NIL deal with myself, I suppose. But we were very intentional about the diversity that's within the book and representation, right? So we were very bold and making sure that that leprechaun was Black, that was on the front of the book. As you look throughout the pages of the book, you'll notice, you know, some of the people that are in the band, right? You've got men, you've got women, you've got people with different heights, different hair colors. You've got a woman with red hair as one of the drum majors. So we try to really be intentional on each and every page. And I mean it, each and every page, where we hope there's a kid, there's even a teenager, right? There's an illustrator that's going to be an illustrator someday, a parent, a Notre Dame fan. We hope everyone sees themselves in some way in the book, right? So I've had friends text me and say, Mike, my son wants to be number 10. Like on page 10 in the book, there's a player number 10. He wants to be that guy. And I've had other parents say, oh, my player wants to be number 7. And so, but we love those experiences that people are having with their children. And we really put an emphasis on having to be a book that has diverse characters in it, whether it's skin tone, heights, hair colors, eye colors, you name it. So we're intentional about that. And then we just wanted people to be represented in their own way and see themselves in a way in the book itself. So we feel as though we've accomplished it. It's something that we actually haven't, we've had people tell us, right? Like that man, they really see it, and it shined. It was something they noticed right away in the book itself. So we've been very proud of that, and hope that carries on as well.
Yeah. So before we get you out of here, Mike, lepgameday.com. If you're watching this on your TV or on your laptop, grab your phone. You can scan the QR code. That'll pull up the website up. But again, lepgameday.com, lepgameday.com. And this promo code BG23, you will put pen to paper and sign.
That's and this deal. I'm telling you. So the book's been doing well. It's been selling, which has been great, and grateful for that. But because it's been selling, I actually outsource now my fulfillment services. So I don't package and ship my own books anymore. But for you, for the Blue and Gold Illustrated community, I will be doing that. I'm going to do that for the rest of the month. BG23, letgameday.com. Just for you, I will be signing, going to the post office, and personally mailing the books to your crew.
That's awesome, Mike. Well, definitely appreciate it for you joining us, Mr. Brown. And any last thoughts for our community here?
Let's get it, man. Have a good time. Love this show. Keep bringing the energy. Love the insights. And look, there is no off season anymore. It's a wild time in collegiate athletics, period. So I'm enjoying it. Thanks for the work you all are doing and keeping us informed. And go Irish.
If you do somehow get back into the leprechaun game, you're breaking the news on this show. Yeah. Okay.
So someone said there should be a sign that says, in case of emergency, break glass. So if we're in that kind of trouble, then you're going to need some other help, I suppose. But yeah, no, it's been fun. I'll let you be the first to know.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Take it easy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff, Mike Brown. Definitely a good friend of the show. And Tim, you had the book. Do your kids love it?
I actually sent it to my niece and nephews for Christmas. So I sent those down out there in California, and they're all Irish. My entire family's got Irish gear like crazy. So I sent those for a couple of gifts this year. So they were obviously thrilled.
All right, a couple more things. that I regarding going back to the CJ Williams discussion, he's not like it, that's not a done deal mm-hmm. by any stretch. I don't know if we were talking about it as it is. If you talk to people at Wisconsin, Wisconsin folks think he's going there. UCLA folks, you know, it was a USC UCLA battle, you know, after he decommitted from Notre Dame. So UCLA is very much in the picture there. Wisconsin's the one that's just like, really, Wisconsin? But he wants to go to a place that has, you know, a room where he can be a number one receiver from the jump. And I think that opportunity is there for him at Notre Dame. I think Wisconsin's doing something like 3 transfer portal quarterback additions. Have you seen this, Tim?
I know. Well, number one, they got Luke Fickell, so you know he's going to be aggressive as can be to go out there and get guys. And he's got Phil Longo, the North Carolina, you know, offensive coordinator who throws the ball like crazy. So they're going to be aggressive. They're not going to sit there and run 13 personnel and hand off and run power O anymore. He's going to open it up like Fickell did at Cincinnati.
Now, when we've debated about the Notre Dame being aggressive in the transfer portal market, especially undergrads, are you agreeing with me a little bit more there, Tim?
Well, when you say aggressive means you get guys. That's my take on aggressive. So anyone can send an offer out, Mike. So being aggressive, saying you have an offer. My take, once again, we went over this a month ago. My take on recruiting is you get the guys. Being aggressive, I still don't understand your
– going after it. They were not doing it, and they are now. Like, they are – Brian Kelly was not going after undergrad guys
like this. Hold on. It's not like this was around between 15 and 20 for Brian Kelly to do. So this is completely new. And if Freeman's being aggressive, well, of course, these are the rules. So the rules are out there, and he is being aggressive. Who are they going to get in that portal in the undergrad side? That's going back to my point. I think they're going to get guys they have pre-existing relationships with. I don't think they're going to get – Walker Howard, I saw that earlier. The LSU quarterback just hit the portal a few hours ago.
Can you imagine?
Not that they'll go after him, but, he just took a trip. I don't know how far along they went with that. But some other guys, Anthony Lucas, right? They recruited him. He was a finalist. He's in the portal. Notre Dame has a relationship. He went all the way to the end in recruiting, but he's not interested in Notre Dame. He's going to go to USC. So aggressive is, it's an interesting term.
I guess it's just potato, potato.
Yes.
It doesn't run. Okay.
They are being aggressive. But
when Anthony posted this super chat, I thought it was – I thought it had to do with the book. My mind was this has got to do with the book. The Zorich, Light, Brown, and Brooks. Okay. Those are four of the best. I don't
know. Yeah, you got a Heisman Trophy winner. You got, Zorich, a college Hall of Famer. Todd Light was nominated before. Speaking of Hall of Fame, cheers to Mike Stonebreaker.
Yeah.
Great All-American linebacker in 88 and 1990. Made the College Hall of Fame yesterday. The dude, he's outstanding. Him, Manti Te'o, two best linebackers since I've, watched those two guys. Boom. Mount Rushmore, from as I was posting with some people on the message board.
Ooh.
They're up there.
You just gave me a great off-season for the dog days of the summer.
We have a lot of them. We'll have a lot
Mount
of those.
Rushmore. We'll do a Mount Rushmore video and let you and Goolsby yell at each other. You'll put Sam Hartman on there. He'll put Tyler Buckner.
But as far real quick, so when I thought of Zorich, I'm like, so is this Zorich going into 88 when he was, a sophomore and he was that unnamed guy? Or are we talking Zorich 1990? Notre Dame doesn't have that guy. Todd Light, they have two great corners, Morrison, obviously. Cam Hart has that potential. Tim Brown, you're talking about he's a freak. He's college Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer. Who can that guy be? Tobias Merriweather, probably skills, speed-wise, big game-wise, potential on the perimeter like Tim Brown was. He won't run the ball like Tim Brown did in the running back or a return guy. And then interesting, someone mentioned Tony Brooks because they had so many running backs. Ricky Waters always gets so much of the love from that era, but first guy I thought, Tony Brooks, I would I mean, that's Diggs. Someone posted Estime. No, Brooks had breakaway speed, which Diggs can once he gets going. I would say Logan Diggs. Okay. Logan Diggs on next year's team. That's my quick little breakdown on that.
All right. What's even on the agenda? I closed on my list.
Didn't they get some guy? Some guy who's throwing the football around?
I guess he's okay.
Hey, my God. You want it?
All right, so
What do you want to say on this? It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, yeah, we haven't done our show since this news. So look, just quickly, Tim, you're a Hartman guy. Like you're excited about this edition, right? Like, think it's going to make a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, when you say Hartman guy, it's like, yeah, who's the best football player that's going to win football games for Notre Dame? That's what I am. I'm a who's going to win help win games for Notre Dame. Who's the best football player to win games for Notre Dame? Not well, you know, let's get so-and-so some experience and talk about down the road. I don't know. I'm done talking about down the road. So, I mean, Notre Dame is in this is just a completely different era talking portal and transfer and NIL. Everything's completely different. So I'm looking at Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame football, you know, agree to disagree, whatever it is out there, but it's a year-by-year thing now. Every single year is going to be a different team. There's no, well, we're going to bring in these three linemen, feed them, and hopefully we play as juniors.
It's season, you could have a completely different team from the day one to your bowl game with transfers
and all. Exactly, as we just saw. You know, the guy who starts quarterback for 10 games, you know, left. So, man, you got to win. And my big thing with this Hartman is I've always looked at – number one, I'm stunned. I thought for sure he was coming to the NFL. Someone asked me a month ago. You know, actually someone sent me a message on the message board in the little private one, like, hey, Tim, you know, what do you think of Hartman? I'm like, no, I'm not going to waste my time on him. That guy's going pro. He's played 5 years. Who the heck wants to play six? That's my old take with these 6 year guys, dude, move on. But he is choosing to play a 6 year. He's a stud. I've watched his worst games. Watching the games, he throws six touchdowns. Who cares? I mean, you can watch 5 minutes of YouTube highlights. I went and watched the games. He threw a lot of picks. And the guy is a damn good quarterback. He is good.
So what happened? What happened when he was struggling?
Do you like get hit in the face? I mean, he gets crushed. This dude gets hit so hard. And I watched the Pitt game, the ACC championship game. That game is nip and tuck till the fourth quarter, and he is getting laid out time and time and time again. Throws some bad picks, and I'm like, the guy just got crushed 5 straight plays. Heck yeah, he's going to throw a pick. And real quick on his interceptions, just to, you know, mention that, a lot of these picks are timing routes, I've noticed. He's not throwing bad balls. They're timing routes. You always see the, you know, the reaction like, dude, you run the out there. It's man. He had one guy beat for a man beater, and the guy ran a post instead of running the out and up as he was talking. So just a few of those things I went and watched. His worst games. One thing I will say real quick on him is in his worst football games, there's two things you never see. The ball never hits the dirt. The ball never hits the ground. The ball is always in position for his guys to make a play, even in his worst football games. And next thing, you don't see balls 10 yards over people's heads, 10 yards in front of people's heads, way off, out of bounds and whatnot. I'm telling you, I was more impressed in his losses than I was his wins. So when you say Hartman guy, it's who's going to give Notre Dame the best chance to win. This is Marcus Freeman's second year. Say what you want. You know, my take is, man, it's his second year. Can Marcus Freeman really go 8-4? Seriously, can he go 8-4? Because then what starts to happen the next year and the next year? The pressure builds. You can't go 8-4 at Notre Dame 2 years in a row. I think Marcus Freeman was just like, boom, who in the heck is going to get me to 11-1? Just throwing a number out. So, and we're not going through this again. I think that's what happened. And this is why we're in this situation.
What does this mean for the rest of the quarterback room? Like, let's say, you know, when Jack Coton came in, they had the quarterback battle, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the Buckner-Pine quarterback battle was maybe a little bit of one, but, I mean, we all kind of expected it to be Buckner. But, you know, like with Cohn coming in, it was like, all right, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. If we're just going – I don't think it's going to be quite – I think it's going to be a real battle between the two guys. But you do have to assume Hartman's the guy, right?
Sure.
So where does that leave two guys specifically, in your opinion, Tim, and Tyler Buchner and Steve Angeli? I want you to give maybe your opinion and then what you could, like, what you think will happen, like what you would do if you were them, and then what you actually think will happen.
Yeah, and the whole thing, you know, when I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, after our, I think our postgame show, when we were talking about Hartman after the Gator Bowl, and I said instantly, yeah, he's going to win the, you know, he's the starter. I'm being Captain Obvious. He's, yeah, Captain Obvious. He's the best quarterback. He is the better player. Are they going to have a competition? Of course they are. They're going to get equal reps. They're going to run around. They're going to give Buchner. They're going to put him in the same situations Hartman is. And if Buchner goes out there and lights it up and is throwing the ball like Sam Hartman does, then awesome. But what are the odds of that's going to happen? Let's just be honest.
Let me interrupt you. Isn't that kind of – if that happens, I don't have much of a – if I'm Notre Dame, I don't have much of a relationship with Sam Hartman. He just got here. You know, I'll kick you like bye. Like bye, because you can go somewhere else, you know, but –
No, and you're right. So if that happens in the spring, great. I mean, I like Tyler Buchner. I was glad he won the job. I was glad he was named the guy. I wish they would have played him a little bit more in some key roles. I thought he played outstanding as a freshman in games, in the USC game, the Va Tech game. The North Carolina game where he audibles, man. He makes two checks down there where they score, which is outstanding. He's got a ton of ability, but – being Captain Obvious, being, you know, no doubt, the guy gets injured. He gets injured. Even in his freshman year, for crying out loud. He gets beat, you know, he plays in the Purdue game, gets a little dinged up. He misses Wisconsin. You know, he gets hurt in the – people forget the Virginia Tech game. Remember? They bench Cohen. He's playing. He's taking them to the lead. He throws an interception. He sprains his ankle on the damn sidelines running to go make a tackle. So Jack Cohn comes. They didn't bench Buchner that game. He hurt his ankle. Cohn comes in and takes him to, you know, 10 points to win that game at the end of the year. And the Fiesta Bowl, people always talk about, well, why didn't Buchner get in? You know, why didn't you use him? It was, you know, basically said by Freeman, he had a sore hamstring. He couldn't run in this game. And then I missed his 10 games. So he's a good quarterback. I like Tyler Buchner. Your question, my long-winded answer here is what happens to them? He's a redshirt freshman next year, right? He is. He's a redshirt freshman. Where is Tyler Buchner going to go? And let's be brutally honest about this for 30 seconds. What Power 5 head football coach is going to take Tyler Buchner and give him the starting job? I mean, be honest. I mean, I'm being brutally honest here. Who is going to take him? Because if I'm Luke Fickell, you said he's taking quarterbacks like crazy. Is Luke Fickell going to take Tyler Buchner not knowing? He better have a number two ready to go in a heartbeat. Whoever, wherever, if he transfers, let's say he goes through spring and he knows he's not the guy and he's all bitter and I just want to go play. So I'm going to go to Washington State. Let's put Washington State. I've had an offensive lineman go up there and play. Let's say Wazoo. Well, who's Washington State's number two? Because that head football coach up there better know. Because what's the odds of Buchner finishing the season? He's been at Notre Dame twice and he hasn't been healthy in every game.
He would have a spot at all, like a bunch of Power Fives, but no guaranteed spot.
Exactly. But so many of these quarterbacks are going to places where they know they're going to be the dude. They know that. I mean, you're not transferring. If I'm Tyler Buchner, I'm not going to UCLA. Actually, that'd probably be a good spot. I don't know what they have, tell you the truth.
Dante Moore.
Is Chip Kelly going to play him as a true freshman? We'll find out. He's probably an earlier. But anyway, let's just say he goes. Yeah, let's use UCLA. You know, they've had, you know, Dorian Robinson there. So Buchner comes in, but wherever – my whole point on all this is wherever he goes, that head football coach knows he better have a number two. He has to have a number two. Where Notre Dame, if Buchner leaves, I'm telling you guys, Hartman has been hit harder than any quarterback I've watched film on. I mean, and he just keeps playing.
Yeah,
his old line – I looked at the stats, by the way. His 4 years, or like four straight years at Wake Forest, the O-line's ranked in the 100s on sacks given up. The dude is hit nonstop. Yet, look at the numbers he constantly put up. What's he going to do at Notre Dame's offensive line? Let's be real. They got dudes, right? They got better running back. They got dudes. That's why he's coming to Notre Dame. He's got guys around him that he hasn't had. And he's going to play in a true pro-style offense. And that's the bottom line. But real quick, with Angeli, I mean, he redshirted. So something's going to happen, right? This is a one-year rental. Let's also talk about that. It's a one-year rental. He's a six years, which is just maddening to think about. I'll be honest. It's like crazy. No one's going to have a six-year quarterback. But, yeah, and I mean, what happens if Buckner stays? I think Buckner's going to stay because you always need a number two. I go back to Freeman's quote in August when they announced Buckner. What's the first thing Marcus Freeman talked about? Oh, I told Drew Pine, as long as I've been in coaching, you always have a number two. First thing Marcus Freeman said in August. So he's going to use that same thing now with Tyler Buckner.
But Drew Pine was okay with that. Is Tyler Buckner going to be? That's the thing.
He's been at Notre Dame for 2 years, and he's never suited up in every single game. Has he? He has not suited up in every single
game. That's not what I'm talking about, though. If I'm Tyler Buckner, I'm not sure I'm okay with that.
Well, then fine. Then if he goes somewhere else, he's going to have the same issues.
That's the argument. If Buckner comes to me and says, "Hey, I'm thinking about going," it's the grass green on the other side.
Especially when you know Hartman is gone, and if Hartman goes out, and what if Hartman blows out his shoulder? Then it's back to Buckner, and then Buckner, the same situations are going to arise with Buckner, and then you better make sure you got Njeli and Minchie ready to roll if they're the backups next year. Let's say it's 2021. Three quarterbacks are going to be used. So this spring for Minchie and Njeli is huge to see who's that Drew Pine of 2021 this coming season.
I think Njeli, I'm just kind of throwing him in there just to see what you think, but I think that one's – he's so young. Like, he's going to stay at Notre Dame this year. We'll see where things lie after this season.
It's a tough situation, because Tyler Buckner obviously was – highly ranked, gets COVID, no football in California. He had transferred, like I said, to Helix High, one of the premier schools in Southern California. He was excited to play. And then, it comes to Notre Dame, and then they bring in Cone, who was obviously a good football player. But Tyler Buckner played a lot that year. So when he is out there, he's a good football player. And obviously you could say, and this is one last take on this whole – well, you just play him and give him reps take. That's a tough one. I'm thinking of Marcus Freeman once again. Marcus Freeman sitting back here saying, all right, I'm just going to give Buckner reps. And if I go 8-4, if he gets hurt again, or, let's say he misses two games. He's got an ankle injury, misses two games. Am I going to flip a coin in those two games on what I have? I truly believe Marcus Freeman just said, hell no. I'm going out and getting the best damn football player I could get to lead this football team because I got to win getting these guys ready for a 2024 when the playoffs expand.
Yeah. All right. Chat's losing their mind a little bit about defensive line transfer portal stuff. Byron Vaughn's the Utah State defensive lineman, was on campus last week. We'll see if Notre Dame's able to land him or anyone else. But otherwise, guys, it's quiet on that front. And, you'll see reports from me or other outlets about Notre Dame transfer portal stuff, but it's a lot different than high school reporting, high school recruiting reporting, where it's a lot more information is very readily available, right? With the transfer portal, it's a little bit different. I think that these schools don't want stuff leaking as much with the transfer portal. So, look, if it's not out there, it's not out there for a reason. So I just chill your panties a little bit. Now for folks losing their mind about Al Washington and calling him the worst coach ever, jury is still out on Al Washington, Notre Dame's defensive line coach, whether he can cut it here or not. But this is just my thing. I just want to challenge you folks. Who's talking about Chris O'Leary? What is Chris O'Leary? I really like Chris O'Leary. What has Chris O'Leary done since he became Notre Dame safeties coach? Tell me about the safeties he's recruited.
Yeah.
Right. He's going on his third year in this position. I just lose my mind on like Al Washington's the new Jeff Quinn. Let's just go after these coaches, but like
Jeff Quinn recruited some dudes.
Don't you start now.
Oh my God, Tim. What am I doing?
Don't get in. I have no idea what Jeff Quinn is doing, by the way.
Can I say something on this? Yeah, this Al Washington thing is like going crazy. The guy's been at
But is someone out there like, is someone just their whole life's mission is to just throw Al Washington under the bus, but like no one else, no one, like it's only Al Washington, maybe Chris O'Leary, or God forbid Al Golden, like, oh, nah. Nah, well, like Mickens before Ben Morrison, like how many big time corners did he recruit in a couple of years? And nah, just screw that. Yeah, those guys are fine. I just don't like Al Washington. That's just
well, Mickens has, Mickens, his whole entire first class is played as much as you and I, his DB class, that 2021 class. So half of them are gone. So, but yeah, the Al Washington thing's interesting because obviously he has a good reputation, but recruiting dudes to Ohio State is a lot different than it is recruiting dudes to Notre Dame. But at the same time, Mike, you put up an article a week ago, you know, where you're talking about recruiting and 2024 guys and things of that nature. There's some damn good defensive linemen that are pegged to come to Notre Dame. So they already got the, you know, the stud out of what, Connecticut, is it? Yeah. Connecticut, Jersey, Waffle or Waffle. They got the twins. One of those twins is just like the Adamiolas. One of them's top 100, just like Adamiola was ranked in the top 100, and then his brother's going to come along. Lindsey, you and I did a video on Lindsey 9 months ago. He's an absolute stud out of Arkansas. So it's this whole Justin Scott. Well, they don't get Justin Scott. Al Washington stinks. Well, Justin Scott's is a true nose. So he's to me, he looks like a two-gap nose guard is what he does. So, you know, if Notre Dame strikes out on them, things happen as we've seen. So.
It's just like if you're going to criticize Washington for the results, like be fair and go after everyone else.
Well, the O'Leary thing, they lose the kid to Iowa, who's a 5-star, and they lost out on Caleb Downs when it's right. And obviously, my God, and Bowen. What am I thinking? I already forgot about him.
Bowen.
You know, where you have a first-round draft choice out of Georgia who starts for 3 years for Notre Dame, that's your poster child, and they've yet to sign a guy to replace him.
And again, I'm not trying to come after O'Leary or any of these guys. I just don't get why it's just Washington. Like, it's just like, Quinn's gone. Ah, crap. Who are we going to come after? Like, who is enemy number one? I just want to yell at somebody.
It's been 1 year.
Thank you, Domer Wap. I appreciate this.
And I'll say,
Susan says Singer's losing his mind. I'm always good for one freak out per show, but go ahead.
It's all right. But the fair point is, and my fair points to parlay on that is Freeman, he's been a head football coach for 1 year. So 1 year with this staff for 1 year. And it's like, just, I don't know. I'm of the opinion is you just got to let this, we're going to know in a couple of years. It's real easy. We're going to know in a couple of years. And if there's another 8-4 season, or if this season happens or whatnot, we're going to know. That's Notre Dame football. See how this thing is. And if Freeman goes out and he kicks butt this year, they go 11-1. They're a legitimate Final Four type of football team. Sky's the limit heading into 2024 when this thing expands. If not, he's going to be on the hot seat in year three.
Yeah. V-Dub says Scott is in Notre Dame's backyard, though. Well, what about, really? I think it was an offensive lineman from Indiana, or it's a defense lineman a couple years ago. It was like a 5-star caliber kid. Notre Dame never even offered him. You had Caden Curry, defensive lineman, who ended up going to Ohio State. Notre Dame never offered him.
Well, the right tackle, the big giant, all Big Ten right tackle who's from Indiana.
What's his name?
DeJuan Jones, the big monster at Ohio State.
Guys, you have to remember that Notre Dame is not every other program.
Yeah.
Right? The academics, how they play in the NIL game. Notre Dame is just different, right? Notre Dame is. That's why a part of you guys are why. That's why you're a Notre Dame fan.
Yes.
So,
and Justin Scott, people, he drops his top eight. Colorado's in his top eight. So it's like, start to do the math.
Well, Colorado's, I mean,
it's Colorado.
Everyone's
Colorado
top eight.
Going to the Chicago leagues and get
But whether that's NIL, it could be NIL, it could be Deion Sanders, just as a badass human being.
I hear you.
I hear you as well. All right. Tim,
I love it.
So
hey,
next,
by the way, real quick, that was awesome with Mike Brown. Like I told my, my wife went to school with some of his friends as we were chatting before the show, and that was really cool. He had some cool stories, and I just loved listening to him. That was awesome.
He is awesome. I was talking on the phone this morning. I was like, dude, you have a career. Like, you should come be on this show. Like, you have all, like he's awesome. He's just kind of a guy. You just like you just feel like you've known him forever. Right? I've seen his face twice and both on behind his computer screen.
Well, next time he comes on, I got a couple of really good game day football questions. So we got to bring him back when he gets the book rolling and do another promotion for him, a little 10-minute spot. So I would I do have a couple of really fun questions. I'd love to hear, get some insight. So he was great to listen to. I really enjoyed it.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm sure you heard that. So let us know. We'll get you on this offseason again. So next week's show, we are going to dive more into recruiting. I believe, look, the transfer portal stuff wraps up, what, next? Is it middle of next week or something? Transfer portal wraps? It's the 18th or something.
But this week, real quick, Mike, what is it? Is it a semi-junior day? What's happening this weekend?
It's a junior day, you know, top 24 targets and some other players they might offer. So those guys will be on campus. So Tim and I will, you know, talk about some of the news coming out of that as well as All-American Bowl clips. So I will put together all the video I shot of those guys. I'll talk about what I saw of those five players. Someone in the chat right now is talking about Mike. Oh, Mike Brown's in here. He says, sign me up. There we go, Mike. Awesome. Someone just said, hey, I think Micah Bell's going to be the next Ben Morrison. We'll pop up film of Micah Bell, talk about him. We'll kind of just go through the players and what I saw. And Tim, go ahead.
Can I get a quick 10-second teaser? Is Brennan Vernon, did he look as good as I think he does?
I think so.
All right, good to go.
Like physically? Yeah.
He's my favorite.
I don't want to accidentally bump into him. He's not someone who I want to be on his bad side, you know?
All right, good to go. It's my teaser then for next week.
All right, yeah. We will we'll be back next Wednesday, and we'll have plenty of content between now and then on our YouTube channel here at Blue and Gold, and as well as our blueandgold.com website. Join only for $29.99. Gets you access until the start of next football season. Again, you folks watching or listening to this, you guys are junkies, so we appreciate you being here. Hey, shout out Stephen Martin. Shout out Stephen Martin real quick. When I was in San Antonio,
nice.
I got together with Stephen and some other Notre Dame fans. We were just kind of talking YouTube. And
awesome.
He was talking about how he likes some of these shows that, you know, that we do. So I definitely appreciate that, Stephen. Good to see you in here, man. And yeah, I agree. Mike Brown's got swag. But all right, we're going to sign off now. We've been signing off for about 5 minutes here, so we're actually going to end the show. But do appreciate you folks. Hit that thumbs up. And as always, we'll catch you next time.